Let's just roll it. First of all, I'll ask you your name and where you're from and what you do, please.
Okay, my name's Scott Martin. I live on Lake Okeechobee around the town of Clewiston, and I'm a professional fisherman and TV host as well. So, I've grown up on the lake for many, many years, been to a lot of these meetings in regards to the lake health and discharges and et cetera. And one thing that I'm really encouraging the Corps and everyone involved, Southwater Water Management and the Game and Fish, is to really start paying attention to the aquatic vegetation in Lake Okeechobee. It seems like we've all been worried about what water levels are and what discharges are, but no one's really worrying about the filter in Lake Okeechobee. All the water ends up in Lake Okeechobee, so it makes no sense to me that we're not treating Lake Okeechobee as a gigantic filter. We keep mismanaging the water levels that keep killing the vegetation, the submerged vegetation that we have in the lake, and it is at an absolute 100% all-time low that I've ever seen it. And that's due to hurricanes, it's due to mismanagement of water, and it's due largely because there is no management of aquatic vegetation on Lake Okeechobee in the terms of filter. The state spends millions and millions of dollars and many years to build projects south of the lake to fill up these land masses with vegetation to obviously filter the water. We have one of the largest opportunities right here in my backyard, the second largest lake in the United States. There's nobody out there water skiing. It's a recreational lake for fishing and wildlife. And there's no reason that we can't manage that lake in a way that submerged. We have thousands and thousands of acres of submerged vegetation, which in turn will filter 365 days of the year completely free. It will filter billions of gallons of water every single day. The studies show that the water going from the west, which has some filter, has a much lower nutrient load than the water going east, which has virtually no filter. So this, you know, it is the correct way of doing it. We just have to get everybody and the agencies involved and get the public behind and the fishermen on both coasts to realize that until we get Lake Okeechobee water levels at a level that's going to promote that grass to grow, we're not going to filter the water. All we're doing is passing it through, and we need to focus on that. And that's very, very important. So I really want to encourage all the fishermen, all the organizations on both the East Coast and West Coast that are concerned about water discharges to really let's all pull together and start talking the right message about water levels being lower in Lake Okeechobee. Now, there's been some proposed ideas of some extremely high water in Lake Okeechobee, being that the levee would be fixed. They could obviously raise the water levels in Lake Okeechobee. That is apps. Do not go down that road. Do not get sucked into thinking that we can turn Lake Okeechobee into a reservoir, because it will kill the little bit of submerged vegetation we have in the lake, and it will completely remove any filter in the lake, and the rain is not going to stop once you do that. So you're going to have terrible water coming out of the lake all the time. The other proposed idea is that we lower the lake down to a very critical level, 9 foot, I heard at one point, and 11 foot. Both those levels are way too low. I'm all for a lower lake.
Congressman Mattis is promoting 8 feet.
It's the death of the lake. I mean, it's an undoable. These are roads that I don't understand why people get so extreme. I'm a common sense guy. I think there's a lot of common sense people that are paying attention to what we're dealing with here in Florida. I wish they would speak up, because an 8 foot lake, I was physically on Lake Okeechobee when it was at its lowest point it's ever been, which is 8.75, and there was dry land.
Two islands in the middle of the lake, I think.
There was dry land. The lake bottom went 2 to 3 miles out in the lake, and what that did is it completely removed any natural estuary on Lake Okeechobee, made it completely dry, zero water flow at all, which completely kills the spawning and habitat of the fish. It also prevents any type of natural habitat to be in the lake, because that's in the basin. That brings the water level down to the actual basin of the lake, which is not a fertile bottom for grass to grow, etc. You're going to destroy your breeding of your birds. It's completely ruined tourism. You can't even fish the lake at that level. So it's absolutely no way. Now, should we bring the lake down to that 13, 14, 15 foot lake and manage it in those levels? And the most important thing, because all these meetings, I always hear, here's what the number is, here's what the lake levels management schedule is. We need to have a year-to-year management of the lake based on vegetation. So, for example, if we had been hit by a major hurricane and we lost a certain percent of our grass, Then the following year, they need to make an emergency injunction to keep the lake a couple feet lower to get that grass to grow back. Once we have a buffer of a lot of vegetation, a lot more percentage of submerged vegetation, and then we have some high water, we want to hold that water in the lake just a little bit longer to relieve some discharges. That's okay, because we have some filter in the lake. But at this point, we have none, and the only way to get it is we got to bring that lake down, but not anywhere close to that 8, 9, 10, 11-foot range. It completely will destroy the lake, destroy all bit of tourism around Lake Okeechobee.
You mentioned the word public, and I think that deserves a question, because the misunderstanding of the reporting that public is getting, and most of the public is not from Florida. They don't understand water flows different here than where they came from. What do you think the impact of all that misunderstanding is to get in the way of finding answers to this?
You know, again, I think everybody's got to take a deep breath and take a step back and just take some common sense approach to a lot of this. You know, you hear these crazy ideas. There's a lot of blame. Lake Okeechobee seems to get the blame for every single thing that happens in every bit of water around the state of Florida. The farmers seem to get the blame for every single thing as well. I think we all have a responsibility to our own water. Can Lake Okeechobee water be cleaner? Absolutely. Can there be some systems put into place to help filter the water north of the lake? Absolutely, and these are things that need to happen. But Lake Okeechobee is not producing the water. Lake Okeechobee is where the water ends up, and that's the problem. People need to take responsibility of the water around Orlando and the Kissimmee Lakes. Why are we getting their water, and we get blamed?
Well, the other question is, where is the water coming from where the algae's growing? Because the slides that are showing in this room right now, as we're talking on this interview, is showing that three-quarters of the water going into those estuaries where the algae's growing is coming from those local estuary runoff, not from the lake and not from the north. It's coming from the local estuaries east and west where the algae's growing. Right. So unless I'm missing something, the algae's not growing in the lake and flowing into those canals. It's growing into those canals where the water stagnates going east and west.
I 100% agree. I don't think Lake Okeechobee is the reason that we're having the algae issues and the red tide. Of course, they even said that red tide's not associated with the blue-green algae.
Well, you guys are having a great fishing year, for one thing, this year on the north end side of the lake from the fishermen I've been talking right. to. And the You know, south of the lake where the farms are and where most of the sugar's grown, they don't have algae going that way either, and the water's cleaner going on the south end than coming from the north.
I fish Lake Okeechobee all the time. There's no fish kills, zero fish kills. There's no gigantic algae blooms. There's the natural algae that occurs in all lakes.
It's been going on for centuries.
Oh, it happens everywhere. I was at Lake Champlain a few years ago, which is fed by Lake George, which is they claim to be some of the cleanest water in the state of New York, Lake George. And I'm literally on Lake Champlain, maybe 50 miles from where the Lake George water enters into Lake Champlain, and there's an algae bloom. It's in the summertime. It happens. And I know a lot of people listening have seen algae blooms in different lakes that they've probably been to. That's a natural occurrence. It's part of the ecosystem. The second thing I'll say as far as the algae goes, I fish a lot of the canal systems in Everglades south of Lake Okeechobee, directly south, meaning some of the marshes that physically get the water straight from the farm fields. There's no algae in any of those lakes, any of those canals. The fishing's fantastic. The water's clean and great. So those aren't the issues. You know, the issue, again, is that we need to focus on getting the water filter back in, like the grass filter back in Lake Okeechobee. Number two, we need to start taking responsibility for our own water issues that we're all dealing with, because when it rains in Florida, it rains everywhere, you know, and there's runoff not only in Lake Okeechobee, but like you said, in all the different communities on both coasts and up and down the state. So you get a lot of water flowing out into the ocean, and it's all mixing together. You know, but I'm all for clean water. I'm all for getting Lake Okeechobee as healthy as we can get it. I'm all for turning back the Kissimmee River into the way it used to be. You know, we're getting a straight injection of water from
Disney
World.
When they dug the river, the farmers said don't dig it to start with, because it dug all that phosphorus when they dug it out and pushed a lot of that in. And then the farmers said don't fill it back in. They filled it back in and put the same phosphorus back in. It flowed again. So we've been through this twice with people saying don't mess with it, and we keep messing with it. Hey, so that's, you know, that's the local knowledge versus the 90% of the people moving into this state. The last question I'm going to ask is based upon just historical knowledge, because we've seen this in other lakes, but it seems like the public, again, many of whom are coming from other places and have other ideas about what they want to see in the lake, they see grass growing in the lake and think it's a bad thing. You know, we've seen it in Lake Estepoga, some of these lakes before. You know, great fishing. Oh, let's kill the weeds. Kill the weeds, the fish go away. Their fishing's great for a little while because we pushed all the fish into a little bit of weed, but then, boom, they're gone and we killed the lake.
No, absolutely. I think there's some, sad to say, but I think there's some political agendas sometimes going on with the amount of spraying that goes on in this lake. You know, I don't know all the details, but it seems like they do spend a lot of money killing grass at times that they don't really need to kill, especially on Lake Okeechobee. They're spraying a lot of different things. We need to protect the vegetation. Vegetation is a very good thing for fishing. It's obviously a fantastic thing, the very best thing for filtering the water. It's the only thing that's going to filter the water. If we don't have submerged vegetation and grass, that's the only thing that filters the water. So we have to start being, that has to be part of every conversation when we talk about this water quality issue, the amount of submerged vegetation. And it needs to be something that a board needs to be started, that needs to be part of some slides, and there needs to be, it's a real easy thing to do. They need to do a grid on the lake, and they need to see where the vegetation is now and pay attention to it. How many acres
seems
do we
like
have?
The lake's big enough, it can be compromised. Everybody can get a piece of what they want,
yes.
And the lake can
yeah.
be a lot more healthy, a lot
yeah.
cheaper.
It
just, it's a common sense, again,
it'll,
missing.
It'll help the tourism as well, because the fishing's going to improve, and it's going to get more people to South Florida.
What's the impact been on your business this year with all the green algae news up north and everywhere else?
Well, we get lots of phone calls and lots of emails where people are inquisitive about what's really going on. And, of course, we tell them that everything's great, and they come down and experience for themselves, and they have a great time. But I suspect that our numbers are definitely down quite a bit across the board because of the people that are making their own decisions based on thinking the lake is this gigantic green, blue-green algae mud pile, and there's dead fish everywhere. You know, when you turn on national news now, it's a topic even on some of the major networks. So Lake Okeechobee fishing is fantastic. The water levels, we've been very, very blessed so far this year not to have a direct hit on a hurricane, fingers crossed. And so we're going to go into this dry season with the lowest lake that we've had in 2 years. Now, what does that mean? That means we have an opportunity. And if we can get everybody on board now, and we're coming into our dry season at a couple feet lower than what we've been coming into it at, the grass will start growing. And if we can get the South Florida Water Management, the Corps, and the Game and Fish to really start focusing on vegetation, we could start making some major rebounds with submerged vegetation this year.
Great interview. Appreciate your time. Thanks for spending some time with us.
All right. Thank you.